This is Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans, getting you ready for game day.
We are the Sultans. We are the Sultans.
Now, here are Mike Scheck and Trip Rodgers.
More playoff implications on the line in Week 15 as teams are looking to unwrap a division win. We welcome you to Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans, Mike Scheck, Trip Rodgers. Our early window of games featuring two New York teams who compete for draft position. The New York Giants playing so poorly that they got to fly a banner over the stadium saying the team's a dumpster fire. Taking on Baltimore, and from one trash bin to the next, the New York Jets are traveling to Jacksonville looking for a much-needed win. Both games coming up at 1 p.m. today. Then we've got the supreme bragging rights for the state of Pennsylvania when the Philadelphia Eagles host the Pittsburgh Steelers at 4:25. It's also a big game for the Eagles because if they win, they clinch the NFC East, of course, if Washington loses as well. And then they will also clinch no less than the 2 seed in the conference if Washington loses and Seattle loses to Green Bay. We start with the dumpster fires, and unfortunately, the New York Giants haven't found a way to put out their fire. More bad news this past Wednesday as they placed the second round safety, Tyler Newbin, on IR. He played all 13 games this season, finishing with 98 tackles, one fumble recovery, and played in the box 309 snaps because, well, we know that the defense is having difficulty stopping the run. Solid rookie year for him, but unfortunately, it is coming to a close. Now, I turn to you, Trip. You can go ahead and do your Rodgers slide on in.
Yes, I'm sliding in. All right, the dumpster fire that is the New York Football Giants. Back to Tommy DeVito at quarterback instead of Drew Locke. Locke got banged up last week. The one thing that really kind of concerns me, they find new and innovative ways to lose. 35-yard field goal. That's a gimme. And it was blocked.
Really?
That's what you guys are going to do? At this point, the debate now centers around, do you let Shane and Dable go? Mm-hmm. That is what the debate is around. I know Giant fans are not happy. John Mara is aware of that. But I still see a Giants team that is fighting hard. The Saints were probably the most winnable game they had left on their schedule. I mean, Baltimore this week, that's going to be a tough one. And the Giants are a double-digit underdog in that game. We're going to do our pick segment. Mike, I don't think either of us are going to pick the Giants in this game. Even though it's a 16.5-point spread, no way. That's how bad the Giants are. I don't really know if I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But remember, when Dable and Shane came in, they made the playoffs that first year. So lightning can strike. You just never know.
Well, the rest of the schedule is not going to be the easiest. You know, you talked about winnable game like last week's Saints game that kind of winnable, and it was the field goal that was blocked. Next week, they get Atlanta, who's vying for the NFC South crown. Now, Kirk Cousins has been struggling. The Falcons are saying that Cousins is going to remain the starter, but that could very well change if they lose this week to the Raiders on Monday night. Game can go either way, but I'm going to favor Atlanta. Then they get Indianapolis at home, and they have a 10% chance of making the playoffs if they lose to Denver this week. So if they were to lose, then you'd have to consider Indianapolis's backs against the wall. So maybe they'll be playing desperate. Okay, maybe this is an evenly matched game then. And then at the end of the season, Giants close it out with Philadelphia. At that point, the Eagles might be playing for the 1 seed, so that's going to be a tough game. But if the Eagles are already in the playoffs and have nothing else to play for, they might be resting starters, so maybe the Giants can win. So, I mean, at this point, I'm going to say the Giants can probably win at least one game. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't win any.
I really don't see it. I think the bright spot of this season is Tyrone Tracy, the running back.
Yeah.
You know, that's been it. Malik Nabers was as advertised. The Giants need an offensive line and they need a quarterback. Very simple. And that was the thing that kept coming up last Sunday. They got to keep the quarterback off the turf. And that's what they're not doing. The only thing DeVito has is he's got some mobility.
And like you always say, what do you say? When the Giants are playing poorly,
there's always the Jets.
There you go. 3-10, tied for the third worst record in the NFL. Only the Raiders and Giants are the worst. And despite the losing, they're not really getting blown out. I mean, this team has 3 losses by more than 9 points. tied for 12th most in the league. Even though just two teams have worse records than the Jets, 11 teams have more games where they were outmatched on the field. So why this poor record? I really think it starts with them underperforming in close games. I mean, they're 3-7 in one score games. They're struggling to close out games. And where do you trace that back to? You trace it back to Aaron Rodgers.
Well, listen, it's easy to point fingers at Aaron Rodgers, but I think the Jets' downfall started by firing Robert Saleh. I think it was too early. I think it was a mistake, and they have just spiraled after that. I don't think Jeff Ulbrich was ready to be a head coach. As bad as Robert Saleh was, I don't think he was as bad. And I think that's part of the problem with the Jets. If you want to point fingers at management, okay. They fired Joe Douglas. They've got to get a GM. You know, the irony at this point is both New York teams could be looking for GMs and head coaches this season. When was the last time that happened? I can't even think of that.
Yeah,
I can't even think of a time that the two were both at the same time looking. The only time I could think of was close was when the Jets let
Todd Bowles,
they let Todd Bowles go and they hired his replacement.
I immediately think like the 1990s when those two teams after the Giants Super Bowl and the Jets were doing poorly, like maybe then. But again, I don't even know about a GM at that time. So
no, because George Young was a Giants GM through the 90s and then Ernie Accorsi replaced him. So I don't think they were ever looking for a GM. Again, the Jets are a clown show. They really are. As a fan of the Giants, I can't say anything. Listen, the only team that's doing well is the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's talk about the Eagles. I mean, they're the only winning team. They're doing well, but yet, oh, I don't know. Here comes sniping from A.J. Brown towards Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
And Nick Sirianni says, this has got 2022 vibes about this team. And I'm sitting there, dude, you failed down the stretch. You got into a Super Bowl. You were lucky. Oh, my God. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I want to go back to 2022. But this Eagle team, they're good. Don't get me wrong. I think one of the issues that they're going to have is you've got so many personalities, the star wide receivers. Now, you've had some injuries, too. I really think the loss of Kelce has really hurt this team in ways that I don't think they even expected. And I think that's one of the things, but they're still successful. They're still doing well. As you said, they've got a chance to clinch NFC East and at least the number two seed. That's pretty good. The problem is they've got to then transform in the playoffs, and they've got to get something out of it.
And I think it's got to be more than Saquon coming in. Hurts had 108 passing yards last Sunday against Carolina, 226 over the past two games. He has just 5.7 yards per attempt, as only Will Levis and Drew Lock have fewer yards per attempt over the last 2 weeks. I think that A.J. Brown definitely has a reason to be upset with his quarterback. As we continue here with Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans, it is Mike Schick, Trip Rodgers, Fox Sports Radio New Jersey, Fox Sports Radio Jersey Shore, and FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com. Big story this past week, Bill Belichick. He's not going to be coaching in the NFL next season. No, he's going to be coaching in the collegiate level for North Carolina. Surprising story. Belichick has never coached at this level. A very, very hot coaching position on the open market. Also interesting because he's 14 wins away from being the winningest NFL coach of all time, and yet he goes to college. I think he was intrigued by the fact that he wants to maybe win a national championship. Maybe he wants to add that to his sort of resume here, or maybe he just doesn't think that the NFL is right for him at this time. Got to be in a must-win now situation to coach in the NFL. And, you know, you talked about the Giants. They're calling up Bill and bringing him over. The Giants aren't the best scenario now. I mean, they might be drafting another quarterback, a rebuild for the Giants if they go that route and they fire Daboll. You know, the Jets are kind of in a similar situation, and Dallas is like a train wreck. So maybe he takes the Jim Harbaugh route and coaches a couple of years because it is a three-year deal. And maybe after those 3 years, maybe he wins the national championship in those 3 years, and then he goes back to the NFL. At that time, he'll be 76 if he were to do that. And I don't know how much more coaching he would want to do with the NFL level, but I don't know if this is the end for Bill Belichick in the NFL.
One of the things I've read, Belichick was very disappointed. He only got one interview last year, and it was with the Falcons. And there were eight head coaching openings. He was let go from New England. Bill Belichick has been a media star, a media darling. And I think at this point, he wants a challenge. But the other part of it is his son. And supposedly, his son's going to come with him to North Carolina, and he's going to be the defensive coordinator, and he is going to be the head coach in waiting. So Belichick may do this. He wants to try something new. He's buddies with Nick Saban. I'm sure Nick Saban has told him. And he says, look, college is like the NFL now. It really is. And he talked about it on the Pat McAfee show and laid it out. It'll be interesting. Maybe Bill Belichick wants to try something new. He'll try it in college, and if he can be successful and resurrect a program that under Mac Brown has been very successful, it wouldn't be so bad. You wonder if maybe Belichick would be one and done there and go back to the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be part of it. And maybe he's surveying the openings this year and he's not happy with any of them.
So he's going to give it the old college try, and we'll give it more than the old college try when we get to the fantasy segment right after the break.
The give is to Miller, hopping to the edge, and Miller is still driving, pushing the pile all the way to the goal line. Touchdown.
Down the middle.
He's got him. It's Freiermuth for the touchdown.
Oh, I leave quite an impression.
It's Hurts. It's a blitz. It gets picked up. It's a throw. Touchdown. It's Devontae Smith.
They give it to Bixby. Trying the left side. Stiff arm. Touchdown.
First to goal into the end zone. Directo, his second.
And if that's true, you'll just have to taste me.
Charbonnet turning on the Jets. Charbonnet takes it to the house.
Good time. To the end zone. Got it. Smith, touchdown!
Jones finds the end zone, putting the finishing touches on this one.
Coming up, the Fantasy Sultans get you ready for week one of the playoffs with some much-needed imports and exports for your roster. Plus, who will win the Battle of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh or Philly? And can both New York teams stuff their stockings with a W? We'll pick the games. All that and more as Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans continue. All the pigskin you can handle.
60 minutes of hard-nosed physical football.
You're listening to Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans on Fox Sports Radio New Jersey and Fox Sports Radio Jersey Shore.
We are back here on Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans. Mike Scheck, Trip Rodgers, Fox Sports Radio New Jersey, Fox Sports Radio Jersey Shore, and FoxSportsRadioNewJersey.com. Let's talk about the fantasy performers. I'm going to tip my hat to Sam Darnold, who really got the job done last week. Five touchdowns as the Vikings doubled up on the Falcons. 347 passing yards. Definitely a fantasy league winner. And it's becoming more like J.J. Who? Yeah, they drafted J.J. McCarthy as their quarterback of the future. Now, he got injured, so that led the way for Sam Darnold. But, you know, I got to say, I mean, Minnesota's going to have a big decision to make. Yeah, they got Daniel Jones as a backup quarterback. And you mentioned it on the podcast that we do that Daniel Jones might be that bridge quarterback for J.J. McCarthy. So maybe they move on from Sam Darnold and Sam Darnold finds his self on another team, which plenty of teams can use him. And I think a couple of local teams could use him. New York Jets being one of them, New York Giants being another. Maybe he goes to one of those teams in the offseason and he gets a Daniel Jones type of contract that he should definitely deserve. This year, he has turned the corner.
He was chased out of the Jets. I don't think he would go back to the Jets. Granted, I know dollar signs speak louder than words, but I think the Jets really burned him. I don't think he'd go back there. Now, as for going to the Giants, might be a bad idea. But the question is going to be, do the Giants want to develop a quarterback or not? Sam Darnold's a guy you're going to plug and play and you're going to build around him. If you give him a free agent deal, you're going to have to pay him a decent chunk of change. So you've got to think about who's got cap space, who wants to do that, or do you want to go with the young quarterback? Darnold would be a guy. It would then allow the Giants to probably sit back and maybe draft a quarterback later in the draft. I'm thinking Carson Beck may fall to the fifth, sixth round. Carson Beck may not would be a guy to pick up. Again, Carson Beck probably not going to play. Looks like he's got UCL ligament injury, and so I don't think he's going to play in the Sugar Bowl game. I think he's done for the season. But having said that, still a Carson Beck, maybe somebody you want to work on as a project for the future. But fantasy, he has been awesome this year.
I think we need a fantasy sommelier for this part of the show because it's time to pop a cork for a little Zach Charbonnet in Seattle. The bubbly was flowing after he got going, took the place of Kenneth Walker, finished with 22 carries, 124 yards, and two touchdowns. In addition, seven targets, 59 receiving yards. He was stomping grapes all over Arizona last week. And with six teams on a bye, we mentioned bye McGinn in part number two, as we like to say. fantasy managers who previously relied on these struggling veterans got a sigh of relief when they actually got to rely on Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle for Miami because they had a nice performance last week, something that fantasy owners could not say for a while because Tua Tagovailoa had that injury in week number two. They kind of been hurt by that fact, and Tua came back, and it was mainly Devon Achane who was the guy for Miami, and it still was not Waddle or Tyreek Hill, but they bounced back, and what a time to bounce back because as we are heading down the stretch here, getting into the fantasy playoffs, you could really use those performers.
Tyreek Hill is on one of my teams, and I was very concerned. Tyreek Hill has been a disappointment. The Miami team, of course, is starting to cook. Zach Charbonnet with Seattle. Listen, Seattle is a team to believe in. And as we head down the stretch in terms of fantasy, I mean, let's be realistic. Geno Smith, a quarterback who could be available in your league if you need a streaming quarterback, worried about your quarterback's matchup. And I think at this point, we got to say real quick in terms of fantasy, you're now probably in the playoffs. And if you are, go with what got you here. We're talking about import exports. If you're going to get somebody, you're going to go out and grab somebody who you have a need for. Mm-hmm. Don't just make a move. Yeah. The other part of it is you want to keep the guy away from somebody else so you can make that move. Again, if you're going to pick somebody up, you're going to want to use them. I think that's why most of our import exports this week are going to be imports, not so much exports.
It's time to import and export with the Fantasy Sultans.
He's an importer exporter, okay?
Let's first look at running backs. And speaking of dumpster fires, the San Francisco 49ers are pretty much a dumpster fire. They have not done well. Patrick Taylor is next man up in the backfield. Isaac Garrendo, of course, injured. He is somebody that you could pick up if you need him, especially if Garrendo is going to miss time. Now, they played on Thursday night, so he's going to have some time. But again, Patrick Taylor would be the guy in San Francisco you would want to pick up. Talk about running back. How about a wide receiver? I'll give you one real quick. Guy who probably is available in your league, who has been dropped. Romeo Doubs for Green Bay. Receiving options are not great in Green Bay. No. And Romeo Doubs coming back from a concussion, he could help you. Mike, who you got on your list?
Well, I've got Sincere McCormick in Las Vegas. Double-digit fantasy points last week against Tampa Bay. 89 scrimmage yards on 18 touches. And if you remember what Zamir White did late in the season last year for the Raiders, McCormick could be following in his footsteps. I'll give you a wide receiver. Joshua Palmer for the Los Angeles Chargers led the Chargers with a 30% target share. Six receptions, 78 scoreless yards. Keep in mind, Tampa Bay allows the fifth most fantasy points per game to perimeter wide receivers. How about a tight end? Well, I've got one. Hunter Henry in New England. He led the team in receiving seven passes last week from Drake May, 75 yards. Did not have a touchdown. That only went to Austin Hooper, who caught the only touchdown from Drake May. But Henry, he is a top 10 tight end on the season. And he's a guy that you probably won't find in a lot of leagues on waivers. But if you do, a consideration. One quick export, that would be Tennessee Titans' Tajay Spears. Now, a lot thought that Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears would end up splitting the carries or maybe be close to 50-50. Well, that has not been the case. It has been Tony Pollard who has been the workhorse for that offense, where Tajay Spears is only getting 10 carries, only had a couple of receptions. He's a guy that, again, we mentioned it, if you can't afford the roster space, now's the time to get rid of him. And I know the playoffs is every week is a must win, so you need those must win players.
The Fantasy Sultans Sunday Troopers.
How about two to watch this week? First off, I'm going to go with Najee Harris for Pittsburgh. Yeah, scored a touchdown. Oh, woo-hoo! But Pittsburgh has a very tough matchup against the Eagles this week. Najee Harris has got to get back on track. If you've got him in your fantasy team, you're kind of hoping he will. Also, wide receiver DK Metcalf for Seattle. It looks like DK is getting left in the dust. I want to watch. I want to see if he can rebound. But again, he has disappeared from that Seattle offense.
I'll go with two cream of the crops in the NFC. First, Philadelphia tight end Grant Calcaterra. He scored his first touchdown of the season last week and should continue to see increased opportunities with Dallas Goedert on IR for the rest of the fantasy playoffs. And I'm looking at Detroit wide receiver Tim Patrick. Scored over 20 fantasy points last week, found the end zone twice. Now, I know there's a plethora of receivers in that Lions offense, but the fact that he did score twice is encouraging. Detroit faces Buffalo this week. I think this has potential to be a back and forth game with lots of scoring. You know, I don't know if he's going to put up big numbers, but again, like we mentioned, if you want to pick up a player and you want to keep him away from somebody else, he might be the guy.
The Fantasy Sultans. Pick 'em.
Let's go!
Our lines are courtesy of FoxSports.com. First of all, the Hall of Famers team, the Carolina Panthers, are favored this week at home against the Dallas Cowboys. Gotta love the Panthers. I'll give the 2.5 points.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close game because both teams aren't very good, but I like Carolina to get the edge. Take them.
Speaking of two teams that aren't good, the NYJ travel to Jacksonville. They're in Florida for the second week in a row. But the NYJ is favored by 3.5 points over the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is one of those games that's tough. I'll take the NYJ this week. I think Aaron Rodgers and company can do something.
I'm going to go for the Jets.
All right, the Baltimore Ravens travel to the Meadowlands, take on the Giants. Last time they were there, the Giants upset them. This time, not going to happen. Baltimore, a 16.5-point favorite. That is a lot of lumber to lay. But guess what? I think the Ravens need a good showing, and I think they show no mercy. I think Baltimore wins this game by 20 points.
The Giants kept it close with the Saints and the Cowboys, but you know what? Baltimore is in a very different category from those two. I don't mind giving up the points. I'm going to go Baltimore.
Buffalo and Detroit, that's going to be a featured game. We've talked about it. Buffalo is a 2.5-point underdog. When's the last time Buffalo was an underdog in a game, Mike, that you can recall? I know Detroit is really good, but I kind of like Buffalo, especially coming off the loss last week.
Well, Josh Allen, 6 touchdowns last week, quite impressive. I don't really think he's going to do that against the Lions defense. And if somehow he does, then you better put him in the MVP conversation as well as Saquon. Detroit.
Okay, Pittsburgh and the Eagles. That is the featured game this afternoon. The Eagles are a 5.5-point favorite. This Pittsburgh team, I like them. They're tough. They're gritty. Russell Wilson's got the offense going well. But the Eagles, again, Saquon Barkley, I think that they win this game. I think they win this game by 6.
Well, the last time the Steelers won a game in Philadelphia, the same year Charlie Brown Christmas debuted on TV. That was 1965. You got to go all the way back to then. Yeah, fun fact there. Wow. I am going to go with Philly there. I think they're going to win by a touchdown.
Sunday Night Football, Green Bay, 2.5-point favorite against the Seahawks. Got to like Green Bay in this situation, but Seattle has a lot to play for. I just think Green Bay goes in to Seattle and beats the 12th man.
These games have been crazy over the years since 2012. The Packers and Seahawks have met 4 times, and it started 12 years ago with that famous Fail Mary game. Then you've got 2014 with the NFC Championship game. Saw Seattle down by 17 in the fourth quarter to come back and win the game. Could we be in for a crazy finish this time? I think Josh Jacobs is going to be running all over the place because that Seattle defense isn't very good. I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Two Monday night games. First of all, the game that'll be on ABC, Minnesota hosting the Chicago Bears. That is an NFC North battle. Minnesota is a 7-point favorite. I think that's a little too much, even though it is in Minnesota. I think these divisional games are tough. I say Chicago covers that spread. I think Minnesota wins, but I don't think they cover.
I disagree. I'm going to go Minnesota. Sam Darnold, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions in the last four games. I think they roll over Chicago.
And the other Monday night game, which will be on ESPN, the Las Vegas Raiders are hosting the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are a 4-point choice. The Falcons have seen it go really badly, and they once had a death grip on first place in the NFC South. Now they don't. Atlanta's struggling. Tonic they need is the Las Vegas Raiders, because the Raiders are not very good. Kirk Cousins resurrects himself. I think Atlanta covers a 4-point spread.
Yeah, I agree. Atlanta's going to cover the spread, but if they somehow don't win this game, you got to wonder, is it Michael Penix Jr. time?
Good point.
Oh, and by the way, it's not in my contract for you to do the Rodgers slide. Just wanted to let you know that. As game time approaches on Sunday with the Fantasy Celtics, we want to remind you that we are here for you each and every week. Playoff time, we want you to win your opening week, and we want it to continue so you have that December to remember. We are the Fantasy Sultans.
And you are not.
Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans has been a presentation of Fox Sports Radio New Jersey and Fox Sports Radio Jersey Shore. Want even more fantasy?
His whole life is a fantasy game.
Follow the Fantasy Sultans on YouTube at Fantasy Sultans. And tune in next week at this same time for more Sunday with the Fantasy Sultans.